Sounds positive. I was referring to the voice that said Nick sucks, in case you to make sure you're not referring to the other thing that I said that sounded positive.
No, I was referring to that.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Nick sucks. Is that what she said?
That's what she said.
I thought you were talking about your computer.
No. Yes, my computer's name is Nick.
No, I heard it as it sucks.
No, Nick sucks.
Oh, well, go fuck yourself!
Go fuck yourself!
I ain't afraid of you.
Because I'm in Baton Rouge.
Because I'm in Baton Rouge. That's not why I'm not afraid of you. Is there a response? None of this is coming from me directly. I just want you to know that. I think you're a loving and kind man. With a soft doughy ass. But it's a good push and cushion. I'm not repeating that. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. You just didn't say anything.
No, I'm fucking around with my side of it.
You are. Like, you're the vision. You're doing the vertigo thing that I do to you.
Well, except no,
it's not affecting me though, because I have, you know.
I started off with like 4 bars, and now I'm down to 2, and I can't figure out what the fuck's going on, James. It's driving me nuts.
What is Carol at home?
Yeah.
Is she doing anything while you're doing this that may have anything to do with the internets?
No.
That's not what it is. Dancing around with a Sailor Moon made out of tinfoil or anything?
No, it's one of those sexy pillows.
Sexy pillow. Say it.
Yeah, one of those.
What are you doing to that microphone? That looked disgusting for a second.
Oh, I'm filleting it, James.
Okay, just to be sure.
So I put this thing up in my shop that I'm hoping will... and you hang it up, right? And it says you're not supposed to put it anywhere where people hang out more than 4 hours at a time.
Is it radioactive?
I don't know. I hope so. But I haven't seen any moths flying around in here since I hung it up.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, but I am staring right at it. I mean, it's like a yard away from my face. It's not glowing or anything. And there's nothing like emanating from it. I can't smell it. It's odorless.
Okay. Well, I mean, if there's any like, you know, if you feel like you've gotten a sunburn by the end of this episode, then that may be, excuse me, that may be cause for concern.
Well, I'm sitting under my sun lamp.
Well, we need another control to the experiment then.
If my pee glows?
Yeah, if your pee glows or smells like asparagus and when you have not been eating asparagus.
Noted. Oh. I'll keep that in mind. Hey, James.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, James.
Hey, Nick.
Welcome to Dork.
Welcome to Dork.
I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
It's all right, and you're listening to Dork episode 1.
What's our number?
111.
Oh, hey, 111.
Make a wish.
Okay. I made the wish. Am I supposed to make it out loud? Isn't that bad luck?
No, it just means it won't come true.
Oh, okay. Well, it already hasn't come true because, you know, you're still alive. Oh, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Don't you have some place to go?
What's the Jane doing?
She's going to take care of Jane things.
Ah.
She's saving the world and fighting the good fight.
Yeah? Well,
yes.
I'm over here busily throwing away recyclable materials.
You ought not do that, Nick. You ought not do that.
I'm eating unsustainable meats, James.
Bye. I love you.
I'm running my air conditioner off gasoline.
It runs off fossil fuels anyway. I mean, not directly, but, you know, the power that comes from that comes from fossil fuels.
I read recently that one of the largest coal mines in the country is shutting down because they just have nothing to do with it.
Like
demand has dropped.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's the price of natural gas right now is cheaper than coal, you know, per unit of, you know, whatever the exchange rate is. It's much cheaper to power your thing by natural gas these days than it is to power it by coal. So, and I think next year will be the first year that there's like more natural gas is like sourcing more power than coal is. Like more things will work off of natural gas than coal. Like coal like had the lead, and then natural gas has been creeping up. And by the end of this year, natural gas will be ahead.
Yeah, right there.
I'm got some ginger beer, and it's a carbonated beverage. Australian family owned.
Oh, can't trust them. Did you hear about what AMC was proposing last week?
Are you talking about the American Motor Company?
No.
American Movie Classics?
Yes.
Or the American Movie Corporation?
Whatever the theater is, James.
The theater is. So, yes, AMC.
Yes.
What were they proposing? Are they going to show like every single Marvel movie before Captain America Civil War or something?
God damn, how long would that be? See, underwear, that would be a job.
What are they on, like 10 or 11 or 12 right now?
Well, okay, I'll think of them and you count them with your fingers. Okay, you ready? Are you getting a pen?
I've already got a pen. That's what I do. Okay.
Okay, so Iron Man.
Iron Man.
Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 2.
Iron Man 3.
Iron Man 3. Okay, well, that's 3.
Avengers.
Uh-huh.
Avengers Age of Ultron.
Avengers 2. Okay.
Ant-Man.
Uh-huh.
Thor. You're thinking
of these in a really odd order. Thor.
Thor 2.
Thor Dark 2 World. Electric Boogaloo. Yeah. Yes.
Captain America.
Yeah.
Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Civil War.
Okay.
Do we count the Hulk?
We don't necessarily have to count. We definitely don't count Ang Lee's Hulk from 2003. Do we count Incredible Hulk from 2008? That's the
Norton Hulk. Let's but count
I,
it.
I think we do because that's we're, we
because
will
they pick plus, up with that.
Yeah,
I mean, like they follow that.
Ross, Thunderbolt Ross is going to be in that thing, and Tony Stark was in the stinger for that. So yeah.
Yeah. So that counts. Are we missing any?
Yes.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
There you go. That might be it. I mean, Doctor Strange hasn't come out yet.
No. God, did you see the trailer for that, James?
Oh, my God.
Fuck,
yes, I saw
dude.
The fucking trailer for that. Oh, I'm not even, like, I've maybe read, like, 5 Doctor Strange comics in my life. And yeah. But, like, he keeps appearing all over the place, and, like, he's been in the cartoons and stuff. So I know, you know. But, like, that one, that, I was like, oh, shit, I'm really interested in this universe. Well, I mean, obviously, it's the same universe, but, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a great starting point for the next phase because it's doing what Iron Man did, where I could have given a fuck about Iron Man until I saw Iron Man, and then I was like, Iron Man's the greatest fucking superhero of all time. And I think it's going to do that with Doctor Strange, where like, fuck Doctor Strange, who is this weirdo? And then Benedict Cumberbatch is like, teach me. And you're like, fucking Benedict Cumberbatch, the only man I'd ever fuck! Yes! Give me a hand in the back of him.
Hand job.
Hand job.
Hey, doing that crazy hand job.
In the pants, though. Like, I'm not going to whip Nickel, it out.
No, flop it out.
Because that could lead to VJ. And I don't cross that line with friends, James.
VJ?
Give you a VJ. It's a vaginal job. I can't do those.
Right. Okay.
So how many movies do you have there, James?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. before Captain America, Civil War. Then Captain America and Civil War, and then Doctor Strange.
And that's not counting fucking Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Correct. I mean,
that's a lot, man.
Well, it's like we're talking about AMC doing something, so I was figuring you would be showing just movies. You know, you wouldn't include Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or Daredevil or Jessica Jones.
Yeah, which I guess are part of it, but don't... But not, you know? Yeah, I guess you can't really include those as part of the... I mean, it's part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but it's not...
It's not in the cinema.
Yeah, you wouldn't go see that in the movies.
Yeah. So that would be 12 movies you would see before Captain America Civil War.
That's more than a day.
Yeah, because like each of those is, on average, they're probably just over 2 hours.
Like maybe they could show the other two.
Captain America's?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I should do that. I should watch that right now. All right, bye. But yeah, but what is AMC doing now that we're talking about this?
Oh, they had talked about, their president had talked about showing, like doing movies where, like this showing, you will be allowed to text while the movie's going on. Like not in all the theaters, but in some movies. They're like, we'll have texts, we'll have movies where you can text on your phone while you're watching the movie. In the hopes of gathering more young audiences, you know? Mm. Yeah. Well, people were not happy about that.
No.
And social media was like, fuck you. Fuck you and fuck AMC. Like, that's the first thing in my head was like, I'm Regal only from now on. I'm not going to support this. I'm not going to give my money to somebody to be like, yes, text in the theater. I hate that shit. And so I think that lasted for like a couple days of just the internet going ape shit. And then the president of AMC came out and was like, ha 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 ha. We were thinking about it, but we're not. I mean, you've spoken, ha ha, yeah. Internet. We're not going to do that. We love our guests at AMC, and we're not going to, we're not going to do that against your wishes. Please keep going to see movies. Please.
Yeah.
Sincerely, Bob AMC. Or whatever his name is.
I don't know. That's like, it reminds me of that movie, or not movie, that book, Jennifer Government, where like, it's the future and your last name is whatever company you work for. So like, if you
in this book.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, one of the bad guys is named like John Nike or something like that. And there's like Bill NRA, who gets confused with Billy NRA because, you know, they have similar names. And then some of the girls like go to a school that's owned by McDonald's. And so like they have to like, you know, their last name is McDonald's until they graduate.
That would suck if you worked for Dick's.
It would. Or Cox.
Or... like, I don't know, Anthony's Manure and Refuse Haul. Hi, I'm Nick, Anthony's Manure and Refuse Haul.
Johnny LSU.
James, Department of Sanitation. So, yeah, Dr. Strange. Looks awesome. There were people getting pissed off because Tilda Swinton plays the Mystic. But
the ancient one? Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's Tilda Swinton, man. Come on. It might as well be fucking Andy Serkis. Like it doesn't that's like Tilda Swinton, you shave her head, she could be Gollum, she could be an angel. It's not casting Tilda Swinton is not casting a white woman in the role. It's casting Tilda fucking Swinton. Tilda Swinton is a goblin that was taught to walk upright and act with manners. I don't know how I feel about Tilda Swinton, James.
You're oddly attracted to her.
Yes.
Yes.
Like fucking LaRouge. The chick that's
I've
seen Tilda Swinton shit and just been like, oh man, Tilda Swinton. I want you to do things to me. It'll be weird, but I'm into it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, I could see Tilda Swinton topless in jeans and be like, I don't know if I'm supposed to be aroused right now, or is this just, like, are we just washing the car? Like, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what's happening, but I'm okay with it. I'm okay with this.
It's like you're discovering a different layer of your sexuality. Not a higher layer, not a lower layer. Just, like, a different layer.
Yeah, dude. It's like, you know what I love? Chocolate cheesecake. Hey, man, you want a side of espresso with that? You know what? Let's give that a fucking shot.
Yeah.
That's Tilda Swinton.
Yeah.
That's when it's like, hey, I'm having cheesecake for breakfast. Yeah, coffee goes with that, but cheesecake already? Jesus Christ, what's happening? I'm cool with it. I don't know what to do. I don't think I can eat this whole thing, but I'm glad it's here. Let's find out what happens now. That's Tilda Swinton on my dick. That's just how she affects my genitals. I don't know, James. I'm not ashamed of it.
But it's not something I would have considered previously.
Yeah, I'm not.
I didn't know it was a thing that I would enjoy having until it was presented to me or like given to me.
Yeah, dude. Like Tilda Swinton in fucking it wasn't Hellraiser. What do they call it? The movie.
Johnny Constantine.
Constantine, yeah. I was like, oh, I have the weirdest boner. Like, I don't know. Like she's supposed to be an asexual angel, like, but it's not. It's Tilda Swinton. So, like, what the fuck? I don't know what to do with that, James.
I don't know.
Yeah, so people were annoyed with that, and I think it's just because the trailer was awesome, and they wanted to be the first one to find something to complain about and be like, "Look how politically correct I am."
Yeah.
So I knocked that away. In the same spectrum, though. Did you see the teaser poster for Ghost in the Shell?
No. But I heard that they were making a live-action one with American, I guess, actors.
Scarlett Johansson.
Yes, that's who it was.
As Motoko Kusanagi.
Ghost in the Shell.
It's a shot of her like looking out a window, and she's got Kusanagi's hairdo, but it's Scarlett Johansson. And people were like, you know, we heard this was happening, and now that we see it happening, it's a little fucked up. And, you know, it's like when I heard that that Leonardo DiCaprio was trying to produce an Akira film with white actors.
It's like, why?
It's like, exactly. It's a Japanese story. Like it is a very Japanese story. And Ghost in the Shell is the exact same thing. I read a great response by a Japanese actor about it, and he was like, he's either an actor or he's a comic book writer. I can't remember his name. But he did a series of tweets about it. And he's like, look, that story comes out of a Japan that was basically neutered after World War II and then became a technological powerhouse. And so that, you know, technological growth is what gave Ghost in the Shell. And so following that mindset, it is a very Japanese story. I mean, and aside from the fact that Kusanagi and her team are always dealing with the Japanese government and crime and like trying to, you know, suss out corruption and shit like that. Like it's like that whole standalone saga is dealing with like rebel islands and shit. Like it's a very Japanese story.
Yeah, in order to go ahead.
No, well, and the thing that makes it worse is like, I mean, you get it. It's a business decision. You want a female lead in an action flick. Right now, Scarlett Johansson is not even a question. You know, she did Lucy. She's on the Avenger films. You don't even think twice about it, except for this film, where you kind of have to go. Okay, her name's Kusanagi. Isn't even a little bit Japanese, and so they had talked with a CGI firm, the same one that aged Brad Pitt in
Benjamin Button.
Yeah. And they worked on CGI to make the actors look a little Asian.
Ugh. Why would you do that?
Exactly. That right there, you're like, okay, see, now we're getting fucking weird.
Yeah.
So there was outcry about that. And I mean,
if you're going to do that, you might as well, I mean, you might as well, if you're going to do that, you might as well get Asian actors. But if you want to present that same story, if you think it's a good story, then you should do it in a way where it reflects the cast that you're going to, that you're trying to represent, that you're like putting in there,
like you know, setting New York or something.
Yeah, like taking Infernal Affairs and making it into The Departed. You know, it's a story about Hong Kong police, but you you like have the same general things happen. But if you're going to have it with these people, you put it in a place that makes sense for them to be doing these things in that place. You know,
yeah, like there was some talk of them setting it in like a Japanese-owned section.
A Japanese-owned section of town?
Yeah, a section of New York where, like, you know, it's like a Chinatown or whatever, but like the Japanese corporations have taken over a chunk of Manhattan or something.
That would kind of make sense. I mean, it would make sense for these characters to be there, you know, this time of year or this time of this year or this time in the time. At this point in time, yeah. So, I mean, there's things about that that would work. But, like, the way they're doing it, it sounds like they're not – they don't have the essence of what the story was about. Like, they don't understand what it's – you know, what makes it appealing and what makes it successful, like, the story successful in the way that it is.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody got the rights to something that they didn't really get. It's like, oh, this is really popular right now with like the Adult Swim crowd, and that's our demographic that we're really looking to key into. So we'll purchase the rights to this, and then we'll make this into a movie and, you know, whatever. Sure, let's do it. Get it's a female cyber cop, and she's like sexy. She gets naked and turns invisible. Yeah, it's Scarlett Johansson. Get her to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no. Just get her on the phone. We got a contract with her. She just did Lucy, was moderately successful. If this is already an established property, put Scarlett Johansson. If you want $250 million to make this movie, you're going to get Scarlett Johansson. Do you understand? All right.
Yes. No, people just, you know, they see the dollar sign and they're like, that's that makes dollars. We want that. It makes dollars.
Yeah. So people that actually like Ghost in the Shell for what it is are annoyed at the very least. Here though, like I was reading a lot of tweets from Japan, and the Japanese, like there are some people in Japan that are like, okay, what? Like that's ridiculous. It's a Japanese story. You shouldn't be doing this. But some people were like, well, it's being made in Hollywood. At least they didn't cast Lucy Liu. You know, like, so yeah. In Japan, it ranged from annoyance to indifference to a smattering of people that were like outraged, but they don't get as crazy outraged over there, it seems, as we do here. Like here, it's like a pastime.
Yeah, and most of the time,
I'm angry.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's like angry on other people's behalf. It's like, oh, this is offensive because those people should be offended by it. So therefore, I'm even more offended by it than they appear to be, or you know, or like exercising their right to be.
Yeah, but the annoyance in Japan was kind of like, well, I mean,
it's Hollywood. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, it's a Hollywood movie. I don't
they can put Hollywood people in it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like it's a Hollywood movie and make with Hollywood people, but you know, they're setting it. Where are they setting it? You know, that's the thing.
Yeah, and there were people on Twitter that were like, you couldn't get like Rinko Kikuchi to do this, like that chick that was in Pacific Rim.
Yeah,
you know,
that she's just not as big a draw. You know, it's like, oh, Scarlett Johansson put butts in seats.
The other thing is, did anybody fucking ask if she wanted to do it? Like, they're like, yeah, she's a Japanese, put her in it. And she's like, I don't want to do action flicks. You know, Pacific Rim is nice. I'll probably be in the second one, but I mean, I don't really want to do that. Thanks, though. It's like going, hey, we're doing a, I don't know, we're doing a live action Boondocks. We'll just cast Samuel L. Jackson's granddad. Samuel L. Jackson's like, hey, guys, I don't really want to do that. But, I mean, thanks for telling me where my career is going to fucking go. Appreciate you.
Ass bags.
So we'll see. I don't know. I'll probably see it anyway. I'm going to see it anyway. I don't fucking care. Yeah. If for no other reason than I can go, okay, this was kind of neat. The tanks were awesome. They made it work, or they didn't make it work, or whatever. I mean, in the world of Ghost in the Shell, she could be Japanese in a white frame. Like, that's how it works. If you remember the movie, at the end of that, she was a little girl.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
It's just the way her mind is getting ported into different bodies. The whole point of it is that, the whole point of the original movie is that, you know, there's somebody.
It's not what's outside.
The puppet master is moving between shells.
That's true.
But what does it mean to be in a particular body? So. If they, but that's a really complicated idea to sell to audiences on a summer weekend.
You never know.
And I mean, to be honest, Ghost in the Shell standalone complex is fucking perfect, but it's not a casual watch.
Standalone complex? No.
Yeah. I mean, this episode, you got to watch a couple times to be like, oh, okay, I get it. But I mean, what you going to do?
Suffer and endure.
Yes. So, it looks like Bill and Ted 3 is going forward. Like, there's been rumors for a while, but there's a picture of Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves together, like, waving at the camera, be like, we're trying to set aside shooting dates. So, it's a thing. We're really talking about it. But, you know...
What is Alex Winter doing these days? That
directing,
he's
directing, dude. He's been like seriously directing. I don't mean like he's been directing indies. He's been working. Like doing serious films. And Keanu Reeves has been running around going, "I know kung fu."
Actually, John Wick was a fucking outstanding movie.
I have not seen it yet.
It's. I mean, I'm not talking shit
about Keanu Reeves, dude. That was a throwaway joke.
No, but yeah.
I saw him on the shooting range. I don't know if you saw that little video, but yeah, I'm not going to talk shit about Keanu Reeves right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, John Wick wasn't much of a thinking man's movie, but it was fucking entertaining. It was excellent.
That's what I heard. I heard it was very action awesome. I'm pulling up Alex's Winter's career here. He did Freaked in 93, Fever 1999, Downloaded 2012, Deep Web, The Untold Story of Bitcoin in the Silk Road. That was the one that he just did that was really getting touted on in the film festivals. That was the doing festival starting March of last year. But yeah, it looks like he's done a lot of.
Yeah, well, he's been busy. Like, okay,
music videos and TV and shit. So I don't know. He's been keeping busy. I mean, when he and Keanu meet for lunch, Keanu pays. Obviously, but like it's not. I don't think he's like. Oh, poor me.
Still say like, "Hey, let me cover the tip."
Yeah, like, at least let me buy you a drink.
Which sounds like a motto for an economy condom. Just cover the tip. That's all you really need to cover anyway.
You have to staple it on, but you know, it works. Economy. E-condom, the economy condom. Economic.
Econodermata?
Kind of your mama. Condom? Condom. Condom. Condom? Okay, so, dude, I was reading this article today.
Apparently, was it about the main episode?
Huh?
I think, go ahead.
No, I was reading this article. Apparently, in Pakistan, there are dudes... specifically in the Khyber province, they like getting high on scorpions. And it's not a new thing. It's like been going on since like the 70s and probably longer.
Now, when you say get high on scorpions, you mean they like drink their venom or they like eat them or they like crush them inhale them or what?
There's two ways, dude. They smoke them. What they do is they take them and they put them in the sun to dry out or they put them on a hot coal on an oven and just let them dry out till they start smoking and then they inhale the smoke. And particularly the smoke from the stingers would really fuck you up. And it's like a 24-hour high.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so they were talking with a guy who's been getting high on these things since like the 70s. And he switched to opium just because it's easier on his body.
I switched to opium because it was easier on my body.
Well, he said, you know, it's like the first 8 hours are just agony. And then you start just tripping balls and it's totally euphoric. So they have guys who get high on these things, and there are dealers who hang on a street corners, and for about 150 rupees, they'll let the scorpion sting you so you can get a fix. That's like $2.
Okay.
And it just reminded me of, I don't know if, C-Lab 2020 on Adult Swim, but
yeah.
There was an episode where the captain got trapped underneath a Mingus Dew machine. It was a soda machine, and all the sodas were named after different jazz singers or jazz musicians. And it fell on him, and he got trapped into there, and there was a scorpion that would come out every day and stab him in the neck. And so he just became dependent on it. So it would come out, and it would open a soda for him. And he'd be like, hey, where are you going? Give me my fix. Daddy needs his medicine, and it would stab him. And I was like, that's a silly thing to get addicted on. Until today, nigh on 20 years, I've been thinking that's bullshit. And then today I was like, oh, wait, people get high off of scorpions.
Apparently. Wow. Well, I've learned something today. I mean, the breath of things that people, you know, snort or smoke or inject into themselves. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised that they do scorpions as well. I mean, when you can find people that feed mushrooms to reindeer and then let the reindeer piss so they can drink the piss and get high off the mushrooms, you know, that's in this world. I mean, smoking scorpions is not that far off.
What's this now?
There's like some, you know that classic idea of what a mushroom is? Like, you know, the in Mario, like the ones that are like red with the white spots.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those are like real mushrooms, but they're poisonous. If you like eat them, then you will die.
Yeah.
But they're also, when these people in one of the Scandinavian countries noticed that these reindeer would eat these mushrooms, but then the reindeer would start acting really weird and be like, woo, and they're like, well, maybe they're getting high. So I'm not sure like if they distill it or boil it a little bit or filter it in any way, but they decided to drink the reindeer piss and they got, you know, high as well. If you feed a reindeer, then you can actually participate in the psychotropic effects of it without actually killing yourself. And some, you know, people, like, it amazes me, like, how people find these out. Like, how do you find out that, you know, scorpion venom gets you high? Or how do you find out that reindeer piss, you know, gives you, like, you know, this trippy sensation? I don't know, but people did it, people found out, and now people are well aware of it.
Well, like the scorpion thing I could see, like, a dude getting stung and being like, oh, man.
Yeah.
That's kind of nice. What if I just smoked it? But the reindeer piss is like, I mean, that had to have been a weird, like, sex thing. Yeah, I like to let it piss in my mouth. Look, watch. Or like a bet, you know, I mean, before TV. I mean, yeah. What do you do? Hey, Jorge, I dare you to go drink the reindeer piss. I would drink the reindeer piss. I'm not afraid of the reindeer piss. Come on, I'll go get it. All right, come here, piss in my mouth. Yeah, that's... How is it, Jorge? It's hot.
He's hot.
Have you ever thought about how your fingers can't really bend backwards, except mine are doing it now in the music? Look at this. My mind is opening up into a third eye that can see time and space eternal. Jorge, are you okay? I think there's something in that piss. You should try it. Okay, I go try. I don't know if you've ever seen a reindeer piss or like an elk just piss, but it's a lot. It's very forceful.
I've seen a horse piss.
Yeah, it's
when I was at a parade during Mardi Gras, there was a horse, like, there were horses in the parade, and one of them took a leak. And I understand the phrase, pissing like a racehorse.
Is this oodles?
It was lots.
Yeah, the best way I can describe, like, an elk peeing is rude. It's just like, oh, dear, I have to pee. Just the floodgates are opened.
Yes.
So much pee, James. I knew some guys in college that did some weird shit to get high. Like, the thing I never got was, like, taking pills up your ass. Like, there were dudes that would take ecstasy anally. They'd be like, yeah, jam it up your ass. It goes in quicker. Like, you've already got the pill. Somebody did all the hard work for you. Just take it. But they would, like, jam it up their butts with a broomstick.
I don't think it was because they, thought it would work better. I think they just wanted to jam something up their butt, and they just needed an excuse.
It's very possible, James. And these are the same guys that used to get high off of computer duster.
I don't think I've seen people get high off of computer duster.
They just
computer duster. Oh, like the compressed air stuff. Yes, yes.
Yeah. And that shit's weird. If you ever see anybody do it, they like inhale it and then they talk.
And they talk like this.
Like that's how their voice sounds. And they're like, yeah, try it. No, man, you sound like the devil. Nah. That's cool. Enjoy your can of duster.
It's the best.
All right.
Oh, yes. I'm so high right now. I love doing this.
That doesn't sound good.
No. No. I'm up to 8 cans a day. Oh, yes.
Ugh.
Disgusting.
There was a kid I knew in high school that used to get high. He's one of those, the guys in high school that just started doing drugs before everybody else started doing drugs?
Yes.
Yeah, this kid was one of those, and he like got busted stealing Freon out of people's air conditioners, which is very rude.
It is, because people need that for their air conditioners to condition the air.
Yeah, but it also does a lot of really expensive damage,
If it runs without Freon?
Well, I mean, you got to replace all that. Both.
Yeah.
I would think. Like, I doubt he was delicately taking apart the AC to get to the Freon, probably taking a crowbar or something through the outside unit. But yeah, he got busted stealing those things, and the judge was like, you can join the Marines or you can go to jail.
Yeah.
And he was like, Marines it is. And he died in Afghanistan.
Oh.
So, I don't know. Do you think that was a better use of his time? Like, if he lived out his whole life, here.
Instead, like, how much of a productive member of society would he have been?
Yeah. Like, do you think, there's definitely, him going to Afghanistan, serving over there, and then, there was a situation, I don't know if it was an IED or a firefight, whatever it was, he died for his country. Would you say that was a better use of him than him coming here, going to jail, and then dying of an overdose in his early 20s?
I mean, in his early 20s? I mean, if he didn't make it that long. But
he would have been long.
It's hard to say, though, because, you can't guarantee that he would have died of an overdose or, something else might have, turned his life around.
No, you can only speculate.
Right.
But knowing this guy, from what I understood, even once he was in the Marines, he wasn't really, he didn't straighten up. He just, they had a tighter leash on him.
Right. I mean, it was just because he was compelled to go. He wasn't inspired to go.
Yeah.
I don't know. The world is full of shit.
It is, James.
I don't know. It just Jane and I were talking about the fact that it's a lot easier to magnify hate, because if you Well, I can tell you one of the things that spurred this conversation on my part, anyway, was that yesterday, you know, I'm a teacher, and I'm assuming now the listeners do too, because I just said it, but there was an altercation among two of the people in my class, in my fourth grade class, and one of them got so agitated that she grabbed my thermos off of my desk and attempted to throw it at the other guy. Like, and this is, I mean, it's like a stainless steel, it's like a clean, it's clean canteen, basically, not a, you know, thermos trademark copyright. But if she had, you know, been able to throw it, I'm just being technical, if she were able to throw it, like, directly, and it would have done some damage if it hit somebody, because she was aiming for the head, and it did put a significant dent in the drywall and in my room. And the reason she did not hit him is because I was able to get my arm in the way. When she was like trying to throw it, and like she wound up slapping my arm pretty hard, and I had like imagine on me, but like a large red welt on the like half of my forearm. And you know, and just like, you know, and calming everybody down and separating them and getting, you know, the people, the security guard to come and, you know, take care of removing people from my room and getting everything calmed down. It took, you know, it took a while. And so I was reflecting on, like, you know, how a lot of people jump to violent means and jump to negative means in order to solve their problems. And the people that I'm teaching are, they're not, they come from not affluent background. You know, there's a lot of kids in there that, you know, I don't know how many, you know, if they eat on the weekend, some of them, you know, because, like, we provide breakfast and lunch every day. And some of them, you know, I don't know how well they eat, at, you know, outside of that. But, yeah. I had a really good point at the beginning of this, but
you were talking about how easy it is to magnify hate.
Yeah. And like, you know, there's so many ways that like people can inspire to be loved and inspired to love somebody. And, but like we choose violence, we choose hate. We have institutions that keep people down because other people don't want to give up, you know, the, not just comfort that they have, but like the excessive comfort. And I think for some people it makes them feel better that they have the, you know, not just to have these things, but to know that other people do not. You know, it's like, not only do I know where my next meal is coming from and all my next meals for, you know, the future, like, I'm glad that there are poor people, because then that makes me feel better about being rich, you know, that kind of thing.
I don't doubt that there are people that think like that. I don't think it's a majority.
No.
I think
but most it's people... enough. It's enough of the people that have that influence, though.
Yeah, I think it's more a... of like, I like what I have. Why don't they have this?
Care one way or another.
Well, yeah. No, it's like you're more likely to think positive about, like, you're more likely to think that where you are is because of hard work, even if it isn't necessarily.
Right.
Like, I've known some very wealthy people that are there through sheer dumb luck or because of something their granddad started. That they're a part of, and they're always talking about how, oh, the people just don't work hard enough. Like, motherfucker, you have worked at your family business since you were 16.
Yeah.
You were guaranteed to take it over. You have done jack shit. You have been trained and groomed to do this job your whole life. Like, it's, you didn't build shit. You lucked out. You were born into one spot. And I've known people that had shit. They grew up with jack shit. And are very wealthy, and somehow between then and now completely forgot what it's like to be broke.
Yeah.
And just go, oh, I don't understand why you don't have health insurance. Because groceries are not free, motherfucker. You want to like just go to the doctor. Have you been to the doctor? That's not free. They're not giving that away.
Not in this country.
Yeah, like... So I think it's easier to just think that where you're at is completely positive and not go, okay.
And people
maybe I did have a hand up.
Yeah. And people don't take into account. They think like some people are, you know, they don't have jobs because, you know, they haven't been looking for jobs or they're lazy, blah, blah, blah. Like, I was looking for a job for months when I moved to New Orleans. And I know for a fact that one of the jobs that I applied for, that I was suited for, that I was qualified for, that I was like everything that I, like my experience prior to that, like fit perfectly, it like aligned for that job. And I know the reason I did not get that because it was because of the skin, the color of my skin. Like, I know that for a fact. I mean, I'm not saying like every other job that I applied for was. It was just one job in particular that I know for a fact. I mean, I didn't find out about that until like a month later when I was already like working somewhere else, but that's not, you know.
What was it like working for the KKK or, I mean.
I know. Like, you know, if you would think project manager for the KKK, equal opportunity, right?
I can build a cross.
I can build a cross. I can build a cross. I can,
no,
I can,
I'm not going to be there when you light it on fire. Jeez.
I can build a cross. I can build a cross, Star of David. I could have built them a star and crescent that they could burn in any. It would burn at night. It would burn in rain. It would burn in snow. I mean, that thing would burn. Like, I can build. I can build a cross to burn just as well as any white man.
You want a big old Buddha to burn? Like, change it up.
Yeah.
I can do that.
But no, but like you tell these, you say these to people, you're like, you know, you just need to work hard. You just need to not be lazy. And I'm like, okay, well, I got the reason I didn't get this one job is because, you know, I'm black. And the, some people's response might be like, well, you know, that happens sometimes, you know, but you just still need to work hard. I'm like, okay, this is, you can't say it's just because I'm lazy if like I'm not getting jobs because I'm black. It doesn't work that way. That's not an equation. Either I'm getting jobs, not getting jobs because I'm lazy, or I'm not getting jobs because I'm black. Is but it's definitely not because, not just because I'm being lazy. If I'm not getting jobs because I'm black, it can't be all of one. If there is some of the other, I'm fine.
So really, this what was dork. It like?
We're going to talk about comic books now.
No, really, we don't talk about this very often.
That's because it's not what this podcast is about.
It is.
I mean, we can make it about that. We can have like a.
What's the show blaring Public Enemy?
Fight no, the power!
I was thinking about that yesterday, actually.
Thinking about what?
Like this, not our dynamic specifically, but like how you've talked about, like you know, you used to listen to like, or you still do listen to like Public Enemy and shit like that, which is, I would say, equivalent to like the heavy metal Marilyn Manson shit that I used to listen to at the same yeah. time. And it's both the same thing. It's we're angry, you know. You,
it's an expression like, of anger.
It comes from the time where you're not an innocent kid anymore. You cross that line. You're like, oh, my God, the world is shit. Nobody understands this. And then you hear something that's like, you know, you hear these like Rage Against the Machine. Rage Against the Machine is like, fuck the man. And you're like, yes, fuck the man.
Yeah.
Fuck the man. And I was just thinking that about. Like about you specifically, how like most people that meet you wouldn't go, you know, James loves this in Public Enemy. Like he's rolling down the street going, you know what? Yeah. Fight the power, fight the power. But like, yeah,
fight power. Yes.
But that's definitely a side of you. Like where you,
it is.
You know,
I'm a multifaceted motherfucker.
Indeed you are. But yeah, it's just, it's definitely a different coin than, like, I don't think I've ever not gotten a job because I was white, except for that one time I tried to apply it. Nothing. I can't think of a goddamn thing that I've applied for that didn't.
Sorry, I think I'm finding my calling.
What?
No, like, I don't know if we're going to turn this entire podcast into this, but we need to, like, from the future, like, have, like, a section where we talk about shit. I don't know. This is, I'm formulating this format right now. I had a meeting. I went and I'm actually doing NaNoWriMo, the camp NaNoWriMo this month. Uh-huh. And at a write-in on Sunday, I was at a coffee shop, and one of my friends, who's a published author, not like, you know, New York Times bestseller or anything, but he's a published author.
Somebody published it.
Yes. He's a black guy, and it's great. Oh, that's it. End of story. No, just kidding. And we got into this discussion. There's a Facebook group among other like articles that I've read. There's also a Facebook group about underrepresentation of blacks in science fiction specifically. And we got in a long conversation about comic book characters and like recasting. Kind of like what we were just talking about with, white people doing Asian. Yeah. Ghost in the Shell. Mm-hmm. But like with, the reverse with, Fantastic Four with, Michael B. Jordan.
Uh huh.
Now people were all like, "Oh, you can't do that." But like, it's fictional characters; you can make them whatever they want. You can make Idris Elba James Bond because, you know, James Bond doesn't exist, so you're not like not representing something, some actual historical figure, which then led us to talk about Hamilton the musical,
mm-hmm.
which you have all these white historical figures being portrayed by people that aren't white.
Specifically.
I mean, looking at the cast, it's hard to tell exactly what some of the people are, but, you know, some of them are like, well, he's definitely. His Lin-Manuel Miranda is playing Alexander Hamilton. He's very much not white. But,
well, and there was a thing a week or two ago. They put out a casting call for the new cast, and they said specifically actors of color.
Yeah.
White actors will not be considered for these parts. And so people are like, what the fuck? Which, like, unless you've seen Hamilton, it sounds really fucking racist.
Well, they do have a white guy playing George III.
Yes, which also comes off as really fucking racist. Because you're like, it's all people of color until we get to the really bad guy. which has brought I think there's more and more representation happening now than has ever happened before, because for so long it's been like, of course the Fantastic Four was all white. Of course, yeah. Captain America is white. Of course, like, you know, these are characters that have been around since the 40s and then the 60s and stuff like that. So when you finally get around to like serious black characters appearing in comic book, you know, Power Man, freaking Black Panther, it's the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, now with like, you know, like, can you imagine? Okay, let's say Jessica Jones, the Netflix series, happened in 1992. Like the same series. That first scene where Luke Cage and her are fucking. Dude, that'd be on the goddamn news.
It would be. That would be big news. That would be really, really big news.
Really,
or the show would just have a lot smaller audience. But yeah. And like, you know, when you're talking about all these white characters, I mean, they're white characters that were created by white creators, white male creators for the outstanding most part. And they were aimed at white boys, you know, they're aimed at like a very specific demographic that was overwhelmingly Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you expect, you know, like it's, you know, the heroes are white and they're like ladies, they're damsels in distress are, you know, usually like powerless until you get to Wonder Woman. And even her, you know, there's a lot of things that took away her powers. Like if she gets tied up by a man, she loses her powers. And, you know, specifically, well, she was created by a guy that had a lot of specific predilections, proclivities.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was into the S&M, which is, you know, part of the reason why she had a rope and bracelets, which were like kind of like handcuffs. But that's neither here nor there. He also invented the lie machine or the lie detector. But, you know, anyhow. So, yeah, it makes sense that these characters represented in those times when they were created have those faces. And it makes sense that if you're going to update those characters as like, you know, characters get rebooted all the time. James Bond has been rebooted like several times. Yeah. And yeah, like, you know, like exactly like they did with Spider-Man. Miles Morales. But it makes Captain sense.
America at this point.
Yeah. Although, like, you know, it's a different thing because the mantle of Captain America has just passed to somebody. They haven't, yeah. Well, I mean, it's not a different thing than Spider-Man, but because Peter Parker's still white. He's just, we're not talking about him. We're talking about that Spider-Man. You know, Steve Rogers was white, but now Captain America is somebody else who is a person of color. And those, yeah. I mean, those make sense. Those are very, you know, those are easily explainable and acceptable. Like the thing that people are more up in arms about is when you take an identity like Steve Rogers or Johnny Storm, or if you made Peter Parker black or Mexican or Asian even, you know, people would be like, oh, that's not really Peter Parker, which, you know, given the number of things that have happened in comic books, as far as like realities that are different and people coming back from the dead, I mean, why would it be so out of left field if there was a world that existed where Peter Parker were black, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think you can do that without people going, wait, Peter Parker's black? Like,
No, I'm not saying. Like, I'm not saying. Well, it's not a question of whether or not people would get upset. Isn't it whether or not that's like something you could or should do, or if you. I mean, there's some characters that lend themselves to that in a different way. Like, you know, passing a mantle. Like, whoever, you don't have to make Thor black, but whoever holds the hammer has the power of Thor, right. Which is why Thor is a woman now. But I mean, other people have picked up that hammer and become Thor, like Beta Ray Bill, total alien. He wasn't white or black. He was just, you know, from another planet at all.
Yeah.
Another planet at all? What the hell kind of English is that, James?
Another planet altogether.
Yes.
But like, okay. So you just think the like casting Idris Elba as Roland Deschain, some people were up in arms about that. They're like, no, it's supposed to be like Clint Eastwood. I thought about it for like 2 seconds. And I was like, wait, he's based on Clint Eastwood, but this works. Like, it's not a question. Like, you're like, Idris Elba's going to be fucking awesome in the Dark Tower. Casting a black actor as Captain America makes Captain America a whole other story, specifically because of World War II.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You'd have to change it. Like,
yeah, you can't. Yeah. Retroactively changing Captain America would be difficult. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying it's difficult. Yeah. It's a very different story. You're right. I agree with you.
Like, you could cast a black Batman, right? There could be no question you could have a black Bruce Wayne. And I mean, and to some extent, that's what Black Panther is.
Fucking rich, got a lot of technology, dark.
Yeah.
Dark costume.
And knows how to whoop an ass. Like, that's, you know, like, you could cast a black Bruce Wayne and it doesn't have to be about him being black. You know, you could do it without having to think about it becoming a race story.
Yeah.
You know? But there, I don't know.
It's like you said,
Storm. Like, I never think of Storm as being black. Like, she's from Africa. Like, that's part of her backstory.
Yeah.
But at no point have I ever been like, hey, Storm's black. Like, you.
Right. Just because she doesn't have the word black in her code name. Like, Black Vulcan
or Black Storm. Yeah. But, like, all the comics that I've read with her in it, I don't ever recall there being one where, you know, the whole storyline was about the fact that Storm's black. Like, where Wolverine and Cyclops sitting around going, hey, man, you ever thought about banging Storm? What do you mean? Then that's like Wolverine. He's like, because he's old, you know, he'd be like, oh no, the races shouldn't mix. Like, there was never that. There was never that storyline.
I mean, it gets mentioned. I remember specifically, and this is like, I mean, it has been mentioned. Let me put this. I don't know how often, because the examples that I'm thinking of are like really, really old. Mm-hmm. And they weren't even, it was just like mentioned. It was like when she was in 1980, this was like in the Dark Phoenix saga. This is like right before, holy specificity, Batman. This is like Uncanny X-Men issue like 132, 133, somewhere in there, where they're recruiting Kitty Pryde to join the X-Men. And like, Kitty is like saying like, wait a second, you're like black and you're hanging out with these white people. Isn't that kind of weird? You know, like something along those lines. And Storm was like, I don't know where the fuck you grew up, kid. And then there was another one where I think it was like Storm and Wolverine come back from the past. And I think in this like particular timeline, this might have been the cartoon, actually. Now that I'm thinking about it. In this particular timeline, Storm and Wolverine were like dating or married or something. Uh-huh. And they come back to the present, which was like 1992 or something. And there's like some people that are upset that they're hanging out so, you know, so close to each other. And like in this, you know, they're like, they're in the South. And she's like, oh my God, you're actually discriminating me because I'm black and not because I'm a mutant. And then they were like, wait, you're a mutant?
Oh shit.
God damn it. And then she like struck them with lightning or something. I don't know. But yeah, so it's happened before, and I took way too long to like explain all that. But
no, I get it. But like with older characters, like Superman, okay, he's been around since late 30s,
1938.
Okay, and you're like, why can't Superman be black? Well, when he was created, in the late, he's definitely an established character. He's a character who's been around since my grandfather was reading comic books. It seems like you're doing it just to do it. Why not have a better character that, like, okay, that's like race is part of your identity. That's just who this guy, like Spawn. Okay. Spawn's a badass. He's a black character, but like, again, because he didn't pop up until the 90s, it wasn't like, oh, he's black.
Yeah. And he wears a full body mask basically the entire time.
And even when he's got it off, he's burnt beyond recognition.
Yeah, so, exactly.
But is that? He's not exactly suave. Like, I don't, I guess if you hopped in halfway, you would go, oh, wait, Al Simmons was a black guy?
I did. Yeah. Like, I don't even actively think about black. When I think of Spawn, actively think about black characters, I don't think of Spawn. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you're right. There's no question. There's a definite underrepresentation.
Yeah, and I mean, which is why you have a lot of the alternatives.
But it's a conversation that... What happened?
I'm sorry, you dropped out for a second. I was going to say it's why you get a lot of the characters, you know, that like are inspired by, you know, the characters we know. Like, what's the whole Milestone Comics when they had like the Blood Syndicate and Icon and Static and, you know, and the one that was like Iron Man Hardware, where they're like basically black versions of familiar things. Like, you know, Icon was basically a black Superman. Hardware was a black Iron Man. Static was a black Electric Kid. Static was a little very unique. It was probably one of the reasons why he's one of the characters from that they like blended into the DC universe so well. And he's like shown up on like Batman Beyond and Justice League and stuff.
Yeah.
Or Young Justice. Anyhow. So how's it going?
See what?
How's it going?
How's it going?
How's it going?
It's like we were just talking about my kid.
Oh.
It's weird. I think there need to be more. And it's happening though. Like, but there's more characters, more varied characters. Like every main character doesn't necessarily have to be a white character anymore.
Well, just like, you know, in the 40s and 50s and 60s, when those were representative of not only the creative forces, the individuals, creators behind them, but of the demographic that they were trying to reach.
Yeah.
You know, now it's a more diverse set of creators and a more diverse demographic, more diverse audience. And you can't just, if you want to get female readers, if you want to get readers of different ethnicities reading these stories, they can't just be about white people.
Well, yeah, and also the audiences that are taking in are more vocal, and with social media especially.
Yes.
They're more vocal about, hey, man. Like, if they try to make Luke Cage white, you've been like, there's a number of reasons that doesn't work, but outcry would have been vicious.
I just pictured a 1980s comic book cover of Power Man and Iron Fist, where Luke Cage was just like this big, burly guy with like a blonde afro wearing that exact same suit with the
headband,
the headband and the shirt with the cleavage shirt. For with like for a better term.
Yes. Oh. Right.
Cool. All right. Well, I have some ideas for the future, but we can talk about that off the air.
Okay.
How much time we got? What are we?
Weird time. Okay, an hour. About 5 minutes ago.
Oh, well, shit.
So, yeah, Carol's probably angrily sitting at the kitchen counter right now with a nice cooling ham and egg frittata.
You say frittata, and I say frittata.
Pissed off wife.
I say pissed off wife.
So, yeah, I'm going to check on her. But... Okay. It's good to be back.
Yeah. James.
I apologize for my absence.
It's okay. I hope your show went well.
It's going good. It's a very funny cast.
Hey. When does it run till?
It runs the next two weekends.
Okay.
There's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I should warn you, don't make a special trip. It's a great show. If you want to see it, great. I am in it for literally 5 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Right at the end. It's a part that I got because they just needed a big guy. They're like in originally I auditioned for it because Carol auditioning together, and she had a bigger part that she was auditioning for. And if she got in it the little bit, I'd at least be hanging out with her, you know, while she was there. Except her part got cast someone else, and they're like, "Hey, Nick, you still in?" And I was like, "Ugh." And I asked Carol, and she's like, "Yeah, no, do it. Do it. They need you." And I was like, "All right, I'll do it." So, yeah. So don't make a special trip. Just be like, "Let's go see Nick in a play." It is a funny play. It's a funny show. But don't make a special trip for my ass.
If I happen to stumble across it, I may just give you a heads up. But I also wanted to say, we were talking about Hamilton earlier. I would like to say congratulations to the cast of Hamilton for winning the Pulitzer Prize, especially the
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, the creator. So, Pulitzer Prize winning play, Hamilton, the musical.
Wait, is he listening to this?
He maybe he will now.
Lin Miranda, hey, man, shout out on your very followed Twitter page. Just give us a shot. Do our podcast. Listen to it. Lin.
Yes, Lin. We're not going
to throw away. He doesn't have fucking time to listen to podcasts.
Well, maybe if we just give him a time index to listen to. And just started the rant about. No, we'll tell him that his name is mentioned at the when we start talking about comic books or like characters being recast as different things.
Yeah,
and then maybe he'll like say, "Okay, I'm listening for my name. Hey, this is interesting stuff." And then
no, he wouldn't. He has no time in his life. His schedule is fucking busy.
Well, that doesn't mean we can't try. We can't try. We can't. That doesn't mean we can't try to deceive this guy.
Like he just met with the president. Like he taught.
Yeah, Emma, I know.
What the fuck from Harry Potter? He taught her. They freestyle rap together. Like what? He doesn't. He's got things to do.
I know. I actually showed a clip of him and the cast singing a couple of songs to the president. I showed that to my environmental science class because why not?
Actually, if you started playing that soundtrack for him, you would have a class full of people that are suddenly really, really interested in Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, well, there were a couple, like, you know, they were like, one of the guys was like playing on his phone and like, and then he started like looking up and like, wait a second, there's actually something interesting happening in here. This is like the first 5 minutes before I was like, "All right, put your phones away." But you know, I was like
all the kids at the theater got into it real big, like started listening to the soundtrack. And I was like, "All right, just to keep up with all these little assholes, let me hear this. You know, let's see if it's any good." So I pulled it up on Spotify. It's like 3 hours long.
Yeah, I know.
I started playing the first track, and I listened to the whole thing.
I was listening to the first track 2.5 hours later. Oh my god.
There's a reason it's so goddamn popular. It is very good.
It is.
The amount of work that has gone into it is just monumental because it's just fucking fantastic song after fantastic song after fantastic song combined with a great story, well told, which is really what it's all about.
Yeah. And this past Tuesday, a week ago, they had a the Hamilton book. It's like the Hamilton, the notebook. And it like gives like background on how all the songs came together, how the cast came together, annotated notes on all the lyrics. Like this lyric is like this way because it represents this particular thing that's in my life or Alexander Hamilton's life or like a reference to, you know, some hip hop thing. Like there's like inklings of like Public Enemy and Notorious B.I.G. and like LL Cool J, like, you know, throughout there. But yeah, it's fantastic. And it's like one of those. I was talking about how easy it is to magnify hate earlier, and this is like one of those things that magnifies love. You know, like this is like a positive force in the universe. And Jane was reading the notebook about how it all came together, and she was like, you know, weeping by the time she finished it. It was great. I mean, it wasn't great that she was just because she was crying, but it was like moving. I'm just saying, there's positive stuff.
I get you, dude.
I know. And I'm about to sound cheesy because Jane shows me so many positive things in the world. Like even if she like, you know, when bad stuff happens and she like feels it more than regular people because she's so compassionate, but like she shows so many.
Is she in the room?
She is not. She is not in the room. Do you want to see? She's not in the room. But I just, nothing. I'm fine. I'm done talking now.
Well, James, I'll see you next week.
Will you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see you next week.
And with that, I'm Nick Moore.
I'm James Brown.
And you've been dorked.
Dorked. You've been dorked. Dork.
Yes. As you fade off into the ether. The song, you know you missed it, folks. We'll see you next week. Adieu. Bye.